Revelation chapter 21. In trying to look at some things dealing with the thought of the city, John's Hall coming down, I'd like to read again, starting in the 10th verse. Bible says, "And he carried meal hay in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There are a lot of differing ideas about the book of Revelation. There are some that only see it as a symbolic book. Others desire to spiritualize all that it says. I believe that, yes, there are symbols in the book. And yes, there are things that we take spiritually. I believe the book ought to be taken literally. I believe that God is right in all He says and true. I believe there is a throne room in heaven where the Almighty once is. I believe there is a time there will be tribulation on this earth. I believe there will come an Antichrist that will cause people to take a mark, and if they don't, they will be able to buy or sell, and will be slaughtered by the Antichrist. I believe there'll be a final judgment. I believe there is a lake of fire, just as John describes, and just as those things are right. I believe all that John says about heaven and the New Jerusalem is true. John has had a vision of the city that is impressive. John, we see, is carried up by the angel, where he gets a better view of the city. We talked about the grace of the city, how the multitudes will be a part of its habitation by the grace of God. Talked about the glory of it. Have that John says that it was filled with the glory of God. I want to say today, as our world seems to grow more chaotic, as we watch violence and the wickedness of our world, as we realize how troublesome life is, I am so thankful there is a place called heaven. So thankful every day what I read about, what I study about in these chapters, that it's real. Heaven is a real place. But now John talks about what we would call the grand tour of the city. John is describing something far greater than our minds can comprehend. In the verses I read, John talks about the exterior of the city. In verse 12, John says, And it had a great wall, great head, and 12 gates, and that the gates, 12 angels, shall begin to describe the walls of Pantasia. Every fact, John says, they're great and high. I realize that cities in ancient times had walls. So I don't believe it amazed Sean to see walls about his city. But I realized walls in Sean's day were actually to provide protection and security. When I think about that, I realize that when John is describing this, all the demons of hell and Satan are all in the lake of fire. They're all turned away with. I realize that we'll have no enemies. There'll be no dangers at all. So we ask the question, what is the purpose of these walls? I believe they're there to remind us of how God perfectly protects us. It reminds us of our eternal security in God. We're going to be forever saved in the Lord. That thing is repenting. That thing is harmful. That thing is causing danger again for us, reminding us how that God protected and God will forever safeguard his family. 1 27, and there is, there shall him no wise enter into it. Anything that defileth, either whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, there be nothing ever there causing danger to and love the words back in verse 4 talks about all those whores that there no more tears, no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain over there. But do we realize that over there there'll never be another temptation? There'll never be another trial. There'll be no more Satan to tempt us. There'll be no more failures in our lives that breaks our hearts. Thank God we'll be eternally safe from all those days. I don't know about you. I am looking forward to a place where I'll never fail my Lord again. I fail Him so often. I let Him down so many times. I missed the mark. And I feel so ashamed when I do. But thank God there'll be no more of that. There'll never be another tempting thought in our mind. There'll be never be something to get our attention as Adam taught. Something to get our attention off of Him. But we'll be forever protected, safe in the city of God. I am thankful the Lord helps us through those things right now. But there is coming a day we'll never ever face them again. John goes on to say that it have 12 gates. And he says, at the gate, 12 angels. And then, on those gates, the names were written of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I remind you that number 12 in the Bible talks about God's perfect government. Talks about the completeness of God's authority. And you find that number 12 over and over and over here, reminding us God is the one in complete authority over it all. Our reading says something else about the gates. 1 Corinthians 5. And the gate of it shall not be shut all back, hey. For there shall be no night hair. I believe he's healing us in the in Jerusalem. There will be unlimited access to this city. I believe he'll have access to the new earth. I don't know all that the new earth will hold. I don't know what it'll all be like. I can't help but think it'll probably be a lot like God created in the beginning, before sin ever touched it. But then there is the city. I believe the gates wide open. Tell us we'll have access to come and go in and out of the city. But I believe there are other things involved. I'll touch on that in a moment. He says that there the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are on the gates. I believe it reminds us through all eternity how that God chose those 12 tribes to bring the Messiah into this world. It is a reminder how God's plan started long ago and brought us to where we are. I believe it really doesn't tell us that by what he says in verse 13 that there are three gates on each side of the city. I can't help but believe it'll be a lot like how the children of Israel camped up around the tabernacle. There were three tribes designated on each side. I can't help but believe there will be the names of three tribes on each side, each gate. But I also believe these gates wide open. I believe they are the reminder that there is ample entrance into the city. That God's program has always been whosoever will. It tells us on the north three gates, on the south days. On the west, 3 days. On the east, 3 days. I believe it tells us people will come from the four corners of the earth into the family of God. I realize salvation isn't just for Americans. I'm thankful there'll be Chinese Christians, there'll be Russian believers, there'll be those that were from the Middle East, there'll be people from Mexico, South America, saved by the grace of God. That'll be in that city. God's message is, whosoever will come. I want to throw out a little something for you to think about. In the Bible, north always symbolized trouble for Israel. The south always talked about prosperity, your good times. West talks about sunset. East talks about the sun rising. Let me give you a thought. I wonder if it could remind us there were people that got into the family of God because of trouble that came in their life. I wonder if there'll be people that will say, that door came, I had sickness, I had trials, I had troubles, and they brought me to Jesus to where I got saved. I think about many that Jesus healed that were sick with leprosy or blindness or impotence. They were lame, couldn't walk. I think about those that were deaf. Because of those trials, they came to Jesus. There are those that I know, because of sickness in their life, they gave their heart to the Lord. There are those that the south could be their south. They didn't have trials. Matter of fact, all seemed well in the strength and health their life. They came to Jesus. Think about the east being the sunrise. Could be a picture of those that got saved when they were children, young in life. I think about the west being representing those who got saved slave in life. And I want to tell you, all different kinds are going to walk into that city. Those are just some things to think about. What's going to matter is the reality of being there, being in His presence. Thank God we're gonna be there. Martin Luther said one time, he said for him there would be three surprises in heaven. He said, first of all, he said there'll be the surprise of people I thought would be there, and they won't be there. He said, secondly, I think there'll be the surprise of people I thought would be there, but they will be there. And then he said, the greatest surprise of all will be that I'll be able to be there by the grace of God. I want to tell you, that's it. I believe there'll be people there. While we were here, we thought they would be there, but in reality, they won't be. People we thought they'll not be there for how they live, but in the end, they will be there. But the greatest wonder is that I'll be there by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Let me touch on one more thought. John talks about the 12 foundations. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I remind you again, 12 talking about God's governmental authority. He tells us there is a firm foundation to the New Jerusalem. 12 foundations. He will talk about it all. After a while, he'll describe those things a little more about the walls and the foundation and the gates. But he said, on these foundation were the names of the 12 apostles. I said earlier, the 12 tribes of Israel be an eternal reminder of how God used him to bring the Messiah into the world. 12 apostles bring the New Testament into it. How that God used the apostles to carry the gospel, spread the word around their world. And because of what they did, there come a day that you heard and I heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ties it all together that God had a single eternal plan. God didn't have plan A in the garden. And when man sinned, God said, oh no, now we got to have plan B. God always has had a single plan. God knew when He created Adam and Eve, they would sin. But God had already prepared for redemption. The Bible in the book of Revelation talks about Jesus being the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That was God's single plan. Always has been God's eternal plan. Hebrews 11. That roll call of faith says about those old patriarch saints of God. They consider themselves strangers and pilgrims passing through this old world. Peter wrote to those, he was writing to scattered abroad in the book of 1 Peter. And he called them also strangers and pilgrims. That's what we are today. This world's not our home. What we're reading about in the book of Revelation is home for the child of God. Seems like the longer I live, the more detached I get to this whole world. Man, I remember when I was young, teenager, and starting with my ministry back then as a young man, and I would preach about heaven, and yes, there was the hope of heaven, but as a young man, I thought of a lot of things I'd love to do. Love to get married, love to have a family, love to do those things. But it seemed like the older I got, the more detached. Yes, I'm thrilled with a family. Yes, I'm thrilled with children and a grandchild. Treasure them greatly in my heart. But the longer I live, the more I long just to go home. To be in my Lord. I love living down here. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel so out of place. I just don't feel like I fit in anywhere down here. The most I feel like I fit in is when I'm gathered around God's people. Worshiping Him. I long for home, don't you? The place, as I said earlier, where there'll be no more trials and troubles of life, no more sicknesses and sorrows, no more burdens and battles, no more Satan to tempt us, no more failures to frustrate us. But thank God we'll be at home in His presence forever and ever. I believe that it was an old song written by Theodore Sisk, if I'm remembering right. Back in the 1940s, that says something like this. In heaven I am told, the streets of purest gold. Oh, what a lovely place to call my home. United there will be. We will shout the victory. Press on. It won't be very long. I say to you today, a hurting church, a burdened church, dealing with burdens of heart and burdens of life, trials and difficulties, you're facing it on the job, facing the pressures to give in, press on. It ain't going to be long till our Lord comes again and catches us out of this whole world. Press on. Press on, weary saints. Press on. One day what we're reading now will be reality in that day. That's the message of my heart. That's what the Lord said to pray. I have told the Lord, it seems like every Sunday that I preached on heaven, I've gone back home that week and been praying about the coming Sunday, and I thought, Lord, with all that's happening, don't you want me to preach something else? I'll preach something else instead of talking about heaven. And he won't let me change. He keeps saying, no, I want you to talk more about heaven. I think about those Christians of John's day, facing such horrible trials and difficulties of life. And John kept reminding them later in the book as we're reading about heaven. I believe it's the same thing God is saying. I know you're weary, I know you're tired, I know you're burdened. But there is a place called heaven. There is a home for the child of God. You're not going to be here forever. But I'm going to get you home. All will be safe. And all will be well in the city of God. Brother David, get us a song. That's the message of my heart.